Daf is Daf, Kuf Chaf Vav. So we got to the last eight lines or so of Kuf Chaf Hemen Beis, the words Minot Temra. So we wanted to know, how do we know, we had this machlokus before about whether or not Tumah Blua, Tumah Timuna, whether Tumah that was buried or covered within something, whether it's going to be Bokas Ve'ola L'Raki, it's going to penetrate through the covering and create Tumah, or will it not? And Rabbi Yossi was of the opinion that Tumah Timuna eino bokas. The Gemara wants to know, minot tamer, how do we know Rabbi Yossi holds this way, that the tumah that's hidden does not penetrate through the covering? The Tanan, the Gemara, quotes a Mishnah. Mishnah appears in Maseches Olos, which has been the focus of our perek. Tevas amigdal sheyesh ba poseach tefach. Let's say you have a certain type of closet or box that has an opening a tefach wide. Vein bitziyasa poseach tefach, but it doesn't have the exit. The entry into the box is a tefach, but the exit is not a tefach. So the lach is tuma besocha. Let's say there's tuma inside this box. So then habay is tame. So then the entire house is tame. But tuma bebeis, but let's say there's tuma in the house, but not in the box. In the house, though, masha besocha tahor, that which is inside the box is actually protected. Mifnesha derech tuma lates, vein derech tuma likanes. The nature of tuma, has one ascertained that? I'm not sure, but that's what Chazal tells us. Tuma leaves, the tuma doesn't enter. So when tuma is in the box, it's going to leave the box, and it's going to affect the house. But when the tuma is in the house, it's not going to enter in to the box. That's the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Yossi mitaher, he thinks it's tahor. Mipnei yachal hu lehotzia lechatzayin o lesarfa b'mekoma. Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold it, even though he holds that tuma is made derech latzeis, it leaves. So when the tumah is in the box, it's likely to exit into the house, and one would think it should contaminate the house, since it's possible you could take it out in piecemeal. You could take it out in less than the shirim of tumah, so therefore it's not vada, even though it's vada going to leave, it may not vada create tumah, or one could burn it in its place and never leave at all. So for that reason, Rabbi Yossi hold, it's still tahor, even though there's tumah in the box, it doesn't affect the house. So that machlokas doesn't affect what we want to know right now. Yeah, the Gemara, then the Gemara says further that v'katani sefer, the end, the sefer this Mishnah tells us, hamida bepesach, let you situate the box, the entranceway of the house, upascha lechutz, and the exit of the box is now outside the house. So it's inside the box, inside the house, but the exit of the box is outside the house of the house, the exit of the house. So it's sticking outside the house. So then the din is, tumah besocho, if there's tumah inside the box, even though the box is inside the house, but since the edge of the box is sticking outside of the house, habayis tahor, because it leaves and it escapes the house, doesn't have to go into the house at all. That's the din.
Is it actually outside, or it's just that the kibbutz is towards the outside?
I'm not sure if it's actually outside or it's on the doorway of it. So if it has to be either in line with it, or it has to be outside the house. But if it's inside the house, it doesn't help out. So then the Mishnah says further. So let's say tumah bebayis. So there's tumah in the house. So mashi besocho tahor. So that which is inside the box is tahor as well. Because remember, Tanna Kamma holds that derech of tumah is latzeis, but ain't derech tumah likanes. So it's not going to enter into the box. So in this case here, since the exit of the box is outside of the house, so therefore even Tanna Kamma agrees it's tahor. And on that, the Gemara says, "Vitani Allah." Rabbi Yossi comments, "Mitahir." Rabbi Yossi said, "Oh, this too is tahor." So this Tani Allah, this brayso that says Rabbi Yossi is mitahir. Which case is going on? Is it going on the ratios? Is it going on the seifa? So the Gemara asks a question. Ahai, which one is going on? Ilei ma'aseifa. If this comment that Rabbi Yossi says mitahir is going on the seifa, where the exit of the box is outside the house. So what's the chiddush? Tanakama nami tahore kamatar. The Tanakama who's machmi the resha, they're make on the sefer that they all agree in that sefer it's tahor. So why did they tell me? Oh, Rabbi Yossi also says tahor. That's a vaday. Of course he'll say tahor. He says tahor in the resha. Certainly he'll say tahor in the sefer. So that can't be the case that Rabbi Yossi is saying, oh, this is matar. That's too obvious. Ella, that Rabbi Yossi is referring to the resha. And when the Tanakama had their din in the resha, they were actually saying two things. So Ella, the kamar Tanakama, when Tanakama said that the situation of the box is entirely inside the house. And we said if there's tumah besocha, if there's tumah in the box, then habayis is tame. Then now the entire house is tame. Why is the entire house tame when there's tumah in the box? So the Gemara explains, imishum de derech tumah lates, imishum de tumah Tmuna Bokas. There are two reasons to explain, even though the Mishnah didn't say both reasons. The Mishnah only explained one reason, but there are really two underlying reasons why Tanakama holds when there's Tumah in the box, there's Tumah in the house. Number one is because Tumah is Derech Latzeis, so it's going to escape the box and now contaminate the house. And number two is when there's Tumah that's Tmuna, when there's Tumah that's covered, it's going to penetrate right through its covering and affect the house as well. So those are two reasons why Tanakama holds Tumah b'tzocha, Tumah of the Abaye's tummy. And on that, Kamar le Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi responds twofold as well. The Kamar is that which Tanakama holds, derech Tumah lates. So he says, which was explicit in the Mishnah, not true. Yachol lotzia lachatzai. Number one is you could take it out in piecemeal under the shear and never affect the house. Oh, l'sorfo b'mkama. Or you could burn it in its place and it will never leave. And now what you said, the second svara, the Kamar is Tumah Tmuna Bokas, Bokas, I argue and say, when the Tani Allah, when the Brisa said, Rabbi Yosi is Matayr, he's arguing on the second point, meaning Tumah Tmuna Eino Bokas. That was Rabbi Yosi arguing on the second factor of Tanakama, and this is how we know that Rabbi Yosi is of the opinion that Tumah Tmuna Eino Bokas. Okay. Gemara asks a question on Rabbi Yosi himself, the Rami de Rabbi Yosi ad Rabbi Yosi. The Mishnah tells us, also Maseches Olos, Hakelav she'achal basar meis. Let's say a dog eats some nevela, umeis hakel, rather of a human being, so there's tumas meis, and then umeis hakel, then the dog drops dead. And now inside the stomach of the dog is a tumas meis, it's a meis of an adam, basar of an adam. Umutal askopa, it's now sitting on the doorway, the entranceway. So what's the halacha? So number one is, just Rashi points out, a live animal, whenever there's a din of tumah blua bivale chayim, then we say there's no tumah. We only say that tumah blua could create tumah; it could penetrate when the that which is encasing the tumah is dead or inanimate. But once it's a live animal, so when the dog is walking carrying a bus or a mace inside its body, then we don't say tumah goes through. That's fine. But the moment the kelev dies, the moment the dog dies, so then we have to start dealing with the question of the tumah penetrating through the animal. So the Gemara explains, the Mishnah explains that there's a, I think, a four or five-way machlokas here in the Mishnah. So again, the dog dies on the doorway of the house. Part of it's inside the house, part of it's outside the house, and there's a basar mace inside the kelev. Rabbi Meir Omer, im yesh b'tzavaro poseach tefach, mevi es atuma, vimlav einu mevi es atuma. So right now, Rabbi Meir is concerned with, if the neck of the dog is a tefach long, which is not really hard to come by, if it's a tefach long, so even though the tumah might be outside the house, the tumah's basar can be carried through the tzavar of the dog, and it's going to transfer it into the house. Even though, again, the physical basar, the adam, is not inside the house, the neck is able to carry it through. Now, what's very important here, you have to realize, there is no poseach, there's no chalal tefach. We said in the past, you have to have also a cavity of a tefach space above it. Rabbi Meir's not concerned with that. He's okay with it being flat on top of the mace, as long as the length of it is tefach, he doesn't care about there being any airspace. So if there's a tefach of a tzavar, it's able to carry the tumas basar, tumas mace, inside the house. That's the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yosi, which is the opinion that we want, Omer, Rowan mikeneged hashakuf vilifnim habayis tamei, mikeneged hashakuf vilochot habayis tarab. So according to Rabbi Yosi, we split the animal down. We take the askapora, the mashkof, we take the lintel, we take the entranceway, we divide in half. That if we find that the basar of mace, which is inside, is part of the inner part, then we say the house is tummy. If when we cut it in half, that line where the door goes, if it's outside the house, then we assume it's outside the house. So what comes out from Rabbi Yosi, which is our question here, we do say that tumah blua is metame. Meaning if the basar mace is part of the inner half of the askapora, so askopa, so then we'd say there's tumah. Ah, shouldn't we say it's all encased? Should we say tumah blua eino mitame? And we see that Rabbi Yosi holds that tumah blua is mitame. That's the stira. So we're going to finish the Mishnah though, anyways. Mishnah that says the third opinion. Rabbi Elazar Omer, piv lefnim habayis tahor. Piv lachot habayis tame. Mipnei shetumah yotze derech shulav. Up until now we assumed that where the dog ate from it, the entranceway, the exit rather, is the mouth. He says, no, the opposite. The exit is the other end of the animal. So if the mouth is outside, if the mouth is inside the house, so it's tahor, because the tumah is not coming out, so even though the animal's dead, but the derech of tumah is to exit the back end of the animal. So when the mouth is inside, it's actually tahor. But when the mouth is outside, which means the back end of the dog is inside the house, so the exit is inside the house, so then that's when we would say it's derech latzeis, and then we would say tamer. That's the understanding of Rabbi Elazar. And then comes along Rabbi Yehuda, the fourth opinion, Ben Beseira Omer, Bein Mekach, Bein Mekach, Habayis Tamei. I don't care whether the piv is inside, the back end is inside, it's able to come out both ways. It could either vomit or it could go to the bathroom.
But still,
there's a passageway which it goes through. So too, when there's a tumah in the box, it's not moving, nothing's moving it, but there's a certain derech of things to leave, so if it were to be extracted from the animal, it would be either easier to extract it from the front end, or it would be easier to extract from the back end. It's a world of tumah. We don't fully appreciate it. See, these are the four opinions nonetheless. So what comes out from all this, though, is Rabbi Yossi does hold that tumah blua can be metame. So the Gemara says, now asking the question, my lav, a'ein bitzavaro poseach tefach. Are we not talking about a situation where there is no chal tefach, which means there's no cavity of a tefach space above the basar, to where the neck is, which means it's tumah blua. There's no chatzitza here. There's no nothing. There's no ohel. It's completely close to the basar mace inside the animal. And we see kari Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi holds that tumah blua is metamik. B'shma mina b'tumah b'tumuna b'kas. So Gemara says no. Amar Rava says roan is a chalal hatumah katani. Rabbi Yossi b'tarti pli. Really, we're talking about a situation where there is a chalal tefach. Where there is an airspace of a tefach between the basar mace inside the kelev and the neck of the kelev, so there is a chal tefach, and there is a ohel. And Rabbi Yossi argues on two fronts here. The kamrele Rabbi Meir, this is Rabbi Meir. The kamrus, that which you said, kiyesh b'tzavar poseach tefach mevi satumah, that would you say, when the length of the neck is a tefach, that's enough to create a tumas ohel. Anan basar de chalal azinim. We don't say that's enough. You also need there to be a chal, an airspace of a tefach as well, in order to create the tumas ohel. That's one point where I'm arguing with you. But to commerce, that what you said, kula tame, when you said that when you have this ohel, according to your definition, that whatever area of the mashkov it's in, of the that door space, you think if it's even a slightly inside that door space, it's considered the entire house is tame. I argue on that as well. That when you have the tumas ohel, it's only true if it's mikineged hashokov v'lifnim abayis tame. Only if it's, if you cut the doorway in half, where the door would go, only if it's on the inner half of the mashkov will we say that it's part of the inside of the house, and the inside would be tame. However, mikineged hashokov v'luchot, if it's part of the outer part of the doorway, then even though there might be a ohel, it's not enough, habayis would be tahor. In other words, Rabbi Yossi is not talking anything at all with tumah blua. He's talking about where there's a real ohel. And when there's a real ohel, that's the question whether or not it's able to bring it inside the house or not bring it inside the house. And Rav Acha Brei D'Rava Masi LaBehedya, he said this explicitly, that when Rabbi Yossi made his comment, it's Omer, Rowan is a chala hatuma. This is only true when we see when there's a chal tefach, when you're able to create some type of ohel. But when there is no ohel at all, there's no chal tefach, so then there's no creating of tumah, transferring it into the house. And certainly, although there's no tumah blua, it doesn't metame either, and that can be a question according to Rabbi Yossi. Okay, we're good? Somewhat good? Fine. The Gemara now tells us the last two lines of the page here. Man tana de palagaleh. Who is the one who argues on Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi, Gemara's going back to what we had said at yesterday's daf. Look at the last two lines of Rashi. Man tana de le'el. On yesterday's daf, da nogeh b'kechatzi zayis, a person who was touching half a kezayis of mace, and at the same time, davar acher mahil alav, and there was something, a plank of wood that was on top of him, and al-chatzi zayis on top of another half a kezayis, so he said you could combine the half a kezayis of the na'amaga with half a kezayis of ohel, because you're mitzvah. If he holds... Exactly. Exactly. So he says there you're able to combine the two, ohel and maga, because ohel and maga are the same echad. But there is an opinion that argues and says ohel and nega are not the same shame. So the Gemara wants to know who is one who all holds that ohel and maga are two different shemos and you cannot be mitzvah. So Gemara answers in the last line of Amud Aleph here, it must be Rabbi Shimon. He, the Sanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon tells us that there's shalosh tumos porshos mina mace. There are three types of tumas that can be separate from the mace. Now the Rashi points out this is not really true. Let me just finish reading the Gemara and then we'll read Rashi. The shalosh tumos porshos mina mace. Three types of tumas can separate from a mace. Shtayim b'chol achas v'shlishis ein bem. They each have two and the third one doesn't have. What does this mean? So Rashi explains here, Shalosh Tumos Parshas. Tumos Harbe Parsha Meh Mesa. There are many types of Tumos that can separate from the Mesa itself. Kagon Kazayis Basar, Vishidra Vagelgeles, Shalochasu, a spine in the skull. Rova Atamos, a certain amount of bones. Mali Tarvid Rekav, that the dirt or the dust of the dead body. Vetzam Kisora, bone that size. Rova Minin Binyan, most bones in the. Many different types. He just listed seven of them. Ella. Shalosh Tumos, when we say three Tumos that are poshes mimenu, sheshalos b'davar zeh, three types that are equal in this matter, would mean what? Sheesh b'chalacha shtayim mitumos shel meis. They have two of the three ways Tumos meis. Tumos meis can be transferred three ways, either through maga, or through masa, or through ohel. Three of them can only be metame two of the three ways. All the other cases are metame all three ways, like the five of them are three ways, whether you carry it, whether you touch it, whether you are in the ohel. But there are three types that are only metame two of the three ways. And there's a different, there's a combination, the three different permutations. So we're going to go through each of them right now. So the Gemara says, Ve'eluhen, two lines down. Male tarvad rekav, a amount of the, I don't know what you call this, but the dust. What?
Corpse dust.
V'etzem kisora, the bone of that size. V'gol of a dofek, and the covering of an arum. These are three types. So the Gemara explains. Male tarvad rekav, if it's the corpse dust, it's metame b'masa uba'ohel, v'ein metame b'maga. It's only metame two of the ways, which is going to be through carrying, because when you carry the corpse dust, you're carrying it all together. And when you're in the ohel, you're in the ohel of the total amount. When you touch it, like we saw on the other day, when you touch it, you're not touching the whole amount. So there's a tumas maga by the Malik Tavard Rekav. V'heichan maga, where do you find tumas maga? By a maze? Imachas man, with one of the other two examples that we're talking about. So then the Gemara leads into the next example. Etem kisori, the bone the size of a barley, it's metame b'masa uvimaga v'ena metame ba'ohel. And this Rashi points out it is all halacha the Moshe Mishinai. So we have that etem kisora is metame only two of the three ways as well, but different two ways. And then v'heichan olo, where do you see that tumas ohel applies im achas mehen with the other ones? We have tumas ohel, even though tumas ohel doesn't apply to etem kisora, it does apply to the malik tavad yakev, and it does apply to the next case of golav adofik. So Gemara says, Golva Dofik is the third example where it's only metame two of the three tracks. It's metame b'mago b'ohel, v'ena metame b'masa. This two Rashi says is halacha l'moshe m'sinai, v'hecha maso. Where do you find that tumas masa is metame, if it's not metame by Golva Dofik? Imachas mehen with the other two, namely either the Malik Tavad Rekev or with the Etzem Kisora. Those are metame b'masa. So that's the din here. And we see from all this, however, this is the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. He's the one who holds that Maga and Ohel are different, that you could separate the two of them, and therefore, since you could separate the two of them, you cannot be mitstarif them to the Shir against Rabbi Yossi. Okay. The Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah of the other day. We said, Kulis Nevelu, Kulis Hasheris. We were talking about the different bones. So the Gemara is, the Mishnah was contrasting between Kulis of the mace and the Kulis of a Mukdashin, that a person who is Nogea, Bein Bistumim, Bein Nekuvim, a person is Metame. But then the Mishnah had said, if it's Kulis of Nevela, Kulis of Hasheretz, Hanogei Behem, if you touch them, it's actually your Tahor, if they're Stumim, but if they're Nekuvim, if they have a hole in them, if they have a hole of a Kolshu, then one would be Metame, Bemage, Bemasa, by the Kulis of Nevela and the Kulis of Hasheretz. So the Gemara says, Tanur Rabban, the Gemara brings this source, how do we know that this is the case? The Pasuk says, Benivlasa, when there's a Tumas Nevela, so it's Metame, a person. And the Gemara's Medayik, Benivlasa, Velo Bekulus Stuma, only as a Nevela, which refers to the Basar, as opposed to a bone that's completely sealed off, that does not create Tumas Nevela. Yachal Afilu Nikva, one may think if you puncture a hole in the bone, it should also be Tahor still. Tam Lomer, Hanogei Tama, a person who touched it, he becomes Tame. So, it depends on the gear. If you're able to touch it, if there's a hole that's large enough to be able to touch it, that's tumas maga. If it's not large enough to touch it, then it won't be tumas maga. So, if there's a nekev, it would create tumas maga. So, Amar Le Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Zeir asks the question, Le'abaye, El Miata, that's the case. So, if you need a hole to create tumas maga, behema be'ora lo titma. You have an animal that's completely encased in its skin, which means you can't touch the basar. The skin is protecting it, so there's no tumas magas. So if an animal drops dead, it shouldn't be a nevela if it's completely covered in the skin, because the skin is covering. There are no holes there. So the Gemara says, "Poke chazi kamen nekavim yeshba." Go see how many holes there are. I would have interpreted the holes to be the different pores throughout the body. Rashi says it's referring to the larger holes, the eyes and the nose and the mouth. There are much larger holes there, which is able to access the basar inside, and therefore there are holes, and that's why this tum is maga. So then the Gemara says, Amr le Rapapa, Rapapa says, El Miatav, that's the Rava, El Miatav, that's the case. Kulya bechalba lo titma. A kidney that's encased in the fat should also not be tummy, because since the fat is covering it up, that's how the animals, the kidneys are protected by the fat, so you can't access the kidney, that should also be tahor. And he answers back, Tachazi goksi kama chutin and nimshachin himana. Go see how many holes there are in the fat. It's not completely covering it up, and therefore there are holes, and that's why there's tumas maga. Gemara asks a question. By Rav Hoshaya, chishiv aleh lenokva velo nikva. Let's say a person had intent of puncturing a hole in a bone. The bone is completely sealed, and we know as long as it's sealed, there's no tumas nevela. So let's say I had in mind to puncture a hole, but I didn't have a chance to puncture it just yet. Is that machshava alone? Is that, do we view that mechusar nekeva kemechusar ma'isidami? That since I didn't actually puncture the hole, so therefore it's lacking in action, it lacks a hole, and it should not create tumah. Oh, Dilma, perhaps we should say, oh, lo, maybe not. The fact that it was a chishiv to make a hole, that's enough to create tumah, tumas maga, even though there's no actual hole. So I would have thought the davar pasha, that you need an actual hole, but the Gemara says otherwise. Hadar pasha, he went back and answered, mechusar nekeva lava kumechusar ma'isa dami, which means that if you didn't make the hole, it's not viewed as lacking a ma'isa. It's viewed as if the ma'isa, as if the nekev is already there, and once you're mechashiv to create a hole, there's already going to be tumas maga on a particular bone. Okay, new Mishnah tells us now here on Amud Beis, Beitas Hasherata Merukemes. If you have the beits of an egg, that there, we know Shmona Shratzim, last week's parsha, there are eight different Shratzim. Shratzim have different ways of producing, of reproducing. So the din is of the Rashi points out that a few of them have the ability to lay eggs. So let's say a sheretz, he gives the examples here. I always forget what the definitions are, but he says, Yesh sheretz shu matil beitzim. There are certain types of shratzim that lay eggs. Tzav, valta, v'chomet. These three shratzim lay eggs. So let's say the eggs, Rashi says, hamru kemes, which means shenolad ba'efroach. It has a baby, whatever, baby lizard, baby frog in it, if there's a tadpole or something in it. So then the din is it's tahoro. So even though you have the sheretz in the egg, so, and normally shratzim are tamei, the eight shratzim are tamei, this is tahor, since the eggshell is completely covering it up, since you can't access it, since you can't touch it, it's going to be tahor. But if nikva, if you make a hole in the egg, so there's a sheretz inside, a nikva kolshu, even the smallest hole, it's going to become tamei. So, the Mishnah says further, now, achbar, shechetze basa vechetze adama, so let's say you have a certain type of rodent, that's half dirt and half animal. Rashi points out here, look at Rashi, the last two narrow lines, there is no bold in Rashi, but Rashi says, Yesh min achbar, there's a type of rodent of some sort, she'ena par viraba, doesn't reproduce, ela me'atma, only from itself, it's notzer me'adam, it's created from the ground itself, kash, but just like there are garbages, ha'mesheretz, it's talam, you throw garbage away, and suddenly you see like worms creating, where these worms come from, you didn't see them crawl anywhere, so the assumption was, the garbage, the dirt, turns into it, transformed into these types of shratzim. Vima dies, so the din is. So let's say it's in the middle of transforming itself. Now, a lot of scientists have a hard time with this. There's a Rambam in Perish Mishnas who points out that everyone talks about this thing. Everyone knows it happens. No one could explain how it happened, but it certainly does happen. That's the Rambam. Scientists explain that, no, of course, the explanations for this. I don't know what the explanations are. And when it comes to the ashba, that garbage, I think they say that there are eggs that are laid there. You don't see it developing, but they drop eggs here and there, and they end up developing even though you can't really see it. But this is a whole discussion, the scientists, not for now. But anyways, according to the Mishnah, you have this half dirt, half rodent right now. It's in the process of creating itself. So now, when you touch the sheretz, so there's have to be fully the full achbar to be a sheretz. What if you touch the dirt part of the sheretz? Is that going to make you tamei? So the Mishnah addresses this question. The Mishnah says, in achbar, shechetz basa vechetz adama, if you have a rodent that's half dirt and half meat, half animal, so hanogeh b'basa, if you touch the basa part, the flesh of the half rodent, so then one will become tamei, it's tumas sheretz. If you touch the adama, if you touch the half that's still dirt, so then one would be considered tahor. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda adds, Ova afa nogeh ba'adama, shekenegra basar tama. He thinks, no, even if you were to touch the dirt of this animal, one would still be considered tameh. So that's the machlokas. Touching the adama of such an animal, whether you're tameh or not. So Gemara says, how do you know this? So Tana Rabbanan, the Braita tells us hatameim. Last week's parsha, we read the word hatameim. It says, elu hatameim. These are the ones that are tameh. So the Akshay tells us, lerabos beitas hasheret. Not only the sherets itself, but even the eggs of the sherets would also be tameh. And also kulas hasherets. Also the bones of the sherets is metameh a person as well. So the Gemara says, if you're telling me the beitas sherets is tameh, yachal afilu lo rikma. Even if it wasn't developed, let's say it laid an egg, but it never developed. There's no sherets that was actually developed yet inside. One may think even the eggs themselves are metameh. Tamalomer has sherets. It has to be where it's sherets. Ma sherets shirakum. Just like the actual sherets, the father or mother, the creature itself is where it's developed. Af beitas hasherets, even the egg of the sherets, has to be shirakma, where there's some tsura, where there's some creature inside. But if there's no creature that's developed inside yet, then even the beta sheretz wouldn't be tamet. So the Gemara says, yachla filo lo nikva. Let's say you have the beta sheretz, and it's rukma, which means as a creature inside, one may think it's metame even without there being a hole. Even though it's completely sealed by the eggshell, it should still be tame. Tamalomar hanogeya yitama. Etche efshel liga tame, etche efshel liga tahor. That which you're able to touch, meaning there's a hole, only that type of beta sheretz is tuma sheretz. But if there's no hole, if it's impossible to touch, so then actually it would be tahor, even though there might be a sheretz inside the egg. The kama nikeva. So how big does the hole have to be? How much of a puncture inside the egg? Kichudasara, just like the strand, the thickness of a piece of hair. Shef shaliga kichudasara, they're able to put a tiny hole, a tiny hair into that hole. That would be sufficient to be to make a nekev that this beitas sheretz should be tamer.
So are we talking that the sheretz didn't come out, that the egg didn't come out? We're talking about the egg didn't there's nothing inside the egg. There's no animal What's the exact
case? Okay, so the animal laid an egg, and this egg developed inside the egg. There's a sheretz developing.
Right.
So now you have a sheretz inside, but it hasn't hatched yet. So that right now, even though there's a sheretz inside, it's not metame. But if you make a tiny hole in it, so then it would create tumas maga.
Is the sheretz inside already alive, are we saying, or it's still like an egg that is nothing happening inside?
It has to be with a creature inside.
It has to be already
inside. Yeah. That's what it means, rukma. Rukma means where there's a creature that's developed.
It's already alive.
But if it's not developed yet, then it would not create a tumas.
Right. So eggs stem or not?
Yeah, I'm not sure how long the period is of the development, but whatever that shear is. So then the Gemara says, "Ach bar shechetz v'chulei." You had this half animal, half ground animal. So Amar Rabbi Yishu ben Levi v'hu shehishritz al pnei kula. It's only true if it was hitchritz on the face of the entire animal. What does that mean? So if you look at Rashi around a little, eight wide lines down in Rashi, towards the middle of the line it says, v'hu shehishritz. V'hu shehishritz chetzia al pnei arko shel sheretz miroshu v'ad raglo. The half that has to be, you would think the front top of the animal versus the back of the animal. It's saying, no, the bottom of the animal versus the top of the animal. It has to be where the bottom of the length from the head towards the legs are all developed. Kolomar, shemitzad echad Rashi, one side who nasa basar. Either the top side or the bottom side, one of them becomes entirely basar, but the other side remains adama. Ulahachi tame, im nagav basar, the chashiv sheretz. If you touch a basar. So that's how he explains it. Not bottom half, top half of the, hard to say, depending on how the animal is. Not the head versus the legs, but really the back versus the front of the animal, from head to toe, has to be either the bottom side all basar, or the back side from head to toe all basar, for it to be considered tumah. So that's the Rabbi Shua's addition onto the Mishnah. Ikedemas. So that comment of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, is going on the Resha of the Mishnah, which is talking about the din of that was saying on the right, when you touch the basar, you tamei. Tanakama, when you touch the adama, you're tahor. So now the Gemara says, "Ik demasila." There are those who teach us asefa on Rabbi Yehuda's comment. When Rabbi Yehuda Omer afa nogeya ba'adama, when you touch even the dirt part of such a achbar, it shekineged basar, you would be tamei as well. So on his chumrah, that even touching the adama is tamei. On that, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Pusha Hishritz al Pnei Kula. It's only true if the basar part is going from head to toe, so then when you touch the Adama part, would one become Tamer. So that's the second understanding. So the Gemara now says, "Man demasi la resha kol shekena seifa." The one who teaches this line in the resha, which means the resha is the Tanakama. The Tanakama says, when you touch the basir tameh, when you touch the adama, you're tahor. So when he says you touch the basir tameh, only true if it hishrits kulo from regel to rosh haraglo. Certainly then, Rabbi Yehuda, who says even touching the Adama would make you Tameh, that's also only true if you have the Tumas Archa, that the Basar Archa from Rosh Araglav. But if you teach the other way around, Man Demasi HaSeifa, the one who teaches that the dinner Rabbi Shimon Levi is on the Seifa, that when there's Rabbi Yehuda say that with touching the Adama, your Tameh, it's only true if it's Hishrit Alpnei Kulo, Aval Resha, but the Tanakama, who says you're only Tameh when you touch the Basar, that it's very possible that Afag Abdullo Hishritz, he might say, when you touch the Basar, you don't have to have Hishritz Alpnei Kulo. Once you're touching Basar, I don't care which half it's going to be, that would be enough to make a person Tamer. Okay, let's stop here, because this next piece goes halfway down to the next stuff. So Mitzvah Hashem will pick up tomorrow then.